John Machida Jr., and you're listening to the Medley with Blake Crash Cuddle. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Now sit back and relax and enjoy this edition of the Medley.
Hey everyone, Blake Crash Cuddle here, and you're listening to another fabulous edition of The Medley. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with John Machida Jr. He's probably best known for playing Jim Spleen in the FedEx commercials in the 80s. He's also done Minute Race, Micro Machines, Transformers, and all kinds of other voice roles. The reason why I spoke really fast is because that's what John Machida Jr. is known for. He's known for being a very fast speaker, and he's also known as Motormouth. How did you get the role of Jim Spleen for the FedEx commercial?
There was a show way back when called That's Incredible. I was at a party one night in Hollywood, and a friend of mine who's from New York talks very quickly. He was trying to pick up a girl, and she looked at him and said, like, oh my God, you must be like the world's fastest talker. And he said, no, as a matter of fact, this person is. And I walked over and I did one of my little to be or not to be or something. And a man walked up. He said, I'm the producer of That's Incredible. I want to put you on the show. And at first I can see, you know, it's considered myself a real actor, so I didn't want to go on it. I kept saying no, no, no. Then the acting strike came along and I went on the show and I did it and broke the world's record again. And it aired on Thanksgiving in 1980. And by the following Tuesday, I was booked on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, The Bert Griffin Show, The Mike Douglas Show, The Tony Tennille Show, started negotiating a talent contract with ABC, and was offered the Federal Express Mr. Spleen Fast Paced World commercial.
That commercial aired long before I was born, but it resurfaced on YouTube. I first learned about it after watching an episode of Family Guy where you played Jim Spleen again.
Yes, I guess it was a funny bit about me trying to get Lois into bed.
You also did those Micro Machines commercials in the 80s, and you were also Blur in Transformers, so you're quite an 80s pop culture icon, too.
That's what they tell me. I was the history teacher, Terrible Testaverdes, on Saved by the Bell. I did Minute Rice commercials for people who were home during the day. I did Sesame Street for the little kids that were watching TV. I did Micro Machines I did 125 commercials that ran in 37 countries. I did Transformers. I did Blur in the movie and on the TV show. So in the 80s and 90s, you really couldn't kind of get away from me. I was kind of everywhere.
I saw another video where you were interviewed on the news and you read the lyrics to Michael Jackson's Bad, and you did a really good job.
Well, thank you. Yes, that was, I call those kamikaze interviews. They just out of nowhere. These people think they're going to catch you and they'll like throw a newspaper at you. Or like, I was doing a show in England and they threw me Madonna's album and do the Vogue, words to Vogue, and, that kind of stuff. So this guy wanted me to do the Bad album. And my mouth happened to be working that day. That particular clip was from a show in Boston. I was out on tour for one of the things I did called 10 Minute University. And that clip has been watched over, 120 million times.
You'd mentioned that you were on Sesame Street. You were the owner of a store. I believe it was called Peter Piper's Pea Products or something. I mean, that must have been a challenge because Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, a peck of Peter Pipes. You get the idea. It must have been really hard because it's a tongue twister. Wow.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I had a great fun doing Sesame Street. The people were also nice there. And we did Porter Pepper, Porter Pepper, Peter Piper, Pea Products, which turned into Sam's Estuff store. We did the entire alphabet with me sitting on a park bench with a baby, and they asked what the baby's name is, and they go, Alfred, Bob, Carl, David, Edward, Ferdinand, George, Henry, and he had a name for every letter of the alphabet. And then he had a sister who had a name for every letter of the alphabet. And then we did a thing called Bold Break, Bebop, and Bob, but my buddies called me the Bob, to be brief, was a big bird with a B, eh? And so it was really fun. I enjoyed doing that. And I got to tell you, it's very strange. You haven't lived until you get stared down by a two-year-old in a supermarket. The moms would recognize me from watching daytime TV and seeing me on Minute Rice commercials. The kids would recognize me. The little kids would recognize me from Sesame Street. The bigger kids would recognize me from Saved by the Bell or the Micro Machine Man. And the dads, who primarily watch sports or news, knew me from Federal Express. So I was catching all the age groups with different spots.
Yeah, and I first learned about you, as I mentioned earlier, watching Family Guy with you in bed with Lois. I mean, that must have been funny, and it must have been cool getting the call saying, hey, we want you to be on Family Guy.
Yeah, no, it was great. I've done a ton of animation things, and it was always fun to go in and do that. I also went in and did a thing on American Dad for them. They called me to play like a game show announcer type on an episode, so that was fun.
And I believe you also did the voice of an auctioneer on Robot Chicken too, right?
Yes, I did. I actually did several episodes of Robot Chicken, and in each episode I do a couple of different characters. But we did actually a takeoff of the Micro Machine Man, which was so vulgar. And I kept asking them, you sure you cleared this with your legal department? You sure I'm allowed to say this? And like, no, our lawyer said it's all okay. It was kind of pushing the boundaries, but it was funny. But it was good. Yeah, it was a takeoff kind of the Micro Machine Man. And then I went back like the next day and watched them, because it's all stop motion, and I had never seen how they do that. And I went in and watched my little self being animated by stop motion, which was pretty interesting.
When I was in radio school, we did announcing techniques, and we had to do tongue twisters. And fortunately, we didn't have to say them really quickly. But when I told my parents about the stuff that we do, and the fact that I also mentioned you being one of the fastest talkers in the world, my parents said, I bet John Machida Jr. is your radio professor's hero.
Yeah, I do. I used to limber up with tongue twisters. My favorite one was she stood on the balcony inexplicably mimicking him hiccuping and amicably welcoming him in. So I love doing that one. And I remember when I was taking a voice and diction class, I was from New York, so I did the, you know, how New Yorkers do that. If a word ends in A, they make it ER. So like if it's a girl's name, Brenda, they go Brender. And if it ends in ER, they say A. You know, I put all the stuff in, I turned on the blender. I was doing our final exam for the voice and diction class was reading a paragraph from Death in Venice. And I was just flying through it, just really, really fast and just doing it really great. And then I went, and then the croupier called out as if there were a stream of passengers waiting to abort. And it just was like getting slapped in the face.
That's something that Canadians have to watch out for as well, not ending our sentences with A too much, which is something I'm guilty of doing. And if you're from Toronto, you have to make sure that you say Toronto, not Toronto, because people in Toronto, they often leave out the second T.
Yeah, it's funny, the little things you pick up. I find out when I get tired, a lot of times people don't have any idea I'm from New York. But as I get tired or get older, just cranky, that New York accent comes out in a minute, and I'm talking about coffee before you know it.
If being a fast talker or an actor didn't work out, did you have a backup plan?
Well, I was working, I worked a lot of different jobs, but I was working production in New York for game shows, and, I would have probably kept doing that, would have gone more into, like, the production end of it. I got a job straight out of New York working for Warner Communications, Warner Brothers, in Columbus, Ohio. They were having the world's first two-way interactive cable system called Cube, and I was hired as a producer-performer. And Nickelodeon was also starting at the time, and they filmed into studios in Columbus, and I had my own show. I was one of the first shows on Nickelodeon. I had my own show called Nickelflix that was on three times a day, 7 days a week. So besides being in front of the camera, I was also producing shows and writing shows and creating shows. So I would have stayed in the business in some way, but of course I love the performance.
Of all the fast-talking gigs that you've had over the years, which one would you say was your hardest one to do?
Well, generally, my mouth works pretty well, but some days they don't. I remember one day I was doing a job for Toyota, and it was this big, long script, and every time I got to say Toyota, I went, my mouth just would not say Toyota, and when that's the product you're selling, it really is kind of important to say it correctly. So that was a difficult day. And then I did a show for the Washington State Medical Association, and it was loaded with 25-cent words, condorhyosarcosthenorhinostomies and all this kind of stuff. And the last sentence was, is contraindicated in severe cases of myocardial infarction and angina pectoris. And the medical director on the set kept telling me, it's angina. And I said, well, I've never heard it pronounced angina. I've always heard it pronounced angina. No, it's angina, angina. So I would do this whole big, and it was a script with no edits. So I had to get it from start to finish. It was like 5 minutes long with all these medical terms that I had no problem pronouncing. And I got to the last sentence every time, and I kept saying angina pectoris instead of angina. Because my brain would, it took forever. And finally I got it after way longer than it should have taken. And then a week later they call me and they say, you know, we're looking on it. We thought that, we think you were correctly saying it as angina pectoris. So could you just go into a studio and record some angina so we can plug it in? I was like, oh my God. Because the job would have taken 10 minutes and it took a couple of hours. It was just awful.
When you played Jim Spleen on the FedEx commercials, there was a scene in the commercial where you were interviewing another gentleman, and that gentleman was able to speak really quickly as well. Was that actor actually speaking really fast, or was the tape sped up?
No, I don't think they sped him up. I think he really did that fast. Yeah, just it was a couple of words that he said. It was like one line. I don't remember what it was specifically. That commercial, when they first wrote it, it was like 14 scenes in 30 seconds, and I was saying like three words at a time. And when I showed up, and I hadn't met anybody, they just offered me the job from seeing me on the That's Incredible show. So when I walked in the first morning, I said to the director, I said, you know, it's not really, I don't think it's really going to be funny if I say three words at a time. What makes it funny what I do is if I do a whole paragraph. And the director was Joe Settlemyer, a very famous commercial director, did Where's the Beef and all these big commercials. And, you know, he's known to be a little bit of a tyrant and run a very strict set, and everybody got dead silent on the set. And he looked at me and said, well, what would you like to say? I was like, uh-oh. And the first scene we were doing was the boardroom scene. And I asked him how many people were around the table, and he told me. And all I had originally been saying was, thanks for taking this meeting. So I said, well, what if I said something like, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And in conclusion, Jim, Bill, Bob, call Fred, look, okay, business is business. And as we all know, in order to get something done, you got to do something. In order to do something, you got to get to work. So let's get to work. Thanks for taking this meeting. And he said, you know, I think that will work. So every scene, we went in, like the restaurant scene, we went in and said, okay, let's make it all P's. So we made it Pittsburgh's Perfect. You know, I know it's perfect, Pete. That's why I picked Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Perfect. Peter May, call you Pete, call me Pete. At the end, it was Dave was to deal with the deal we all are dealing. We had finished everything except Pittsburgh's Perfect scene. The guy could not, the director was very precise about what he wanted. And he wanted the guy, I say, Pete, you did the bang-up job, I'm putting you in charge of Pittsburgh. And he says, Pittsburgh's Perfect. And the director wanted him, we were sitting at a table, it was an extremely wide-angle lens, so the camera is actually on the table with us. And the director's like 2 inches behind that, so he's practically breathing down our throats. And the guy starts with the wine glass at his mouth, and as I say, Pete, you did a bang-up job, I'm putting you in charge of Pittsburgh. His wine glass is supposed to come down and just touch the table. Well, and then he says, Pittsburgh's perfect. Well, he couldn't get the timing right or whatever. It took 65 takes. It became a whole nightmare. We didn't end up finish shooting the commercial, so we had to come back the next day. Well, the next day we walk in, and all of a sudden all the suits are there. There were no suits the first day. All the suits are there. Everybody's taking credit because the word had gotten back we were making a funny commercial, and everybody wanted to take credit for it. So the only scene we had left to do was the final scene with me sitting on the phone, and in the middle of a speech, I lean back and a package comes across the table. And then they all started the typical advertising thing. Well, I think it should be the tube. Well, I think it should be the envelope. Well, I think it should be the small box. I think it should be the big box. I think, you know, like crazy. So we did 24 takes with me going back and different things coming in, and I didn't make a single mistake. And the director said to me, you know, what are you, a machine? Don't you ever make a mistake? I said, you want a mistake? I'll give you a mistake the next time. So I said, David's a dork with Dick, Don, and Duck. And that's the take he put in the commercial. So it's our little secret, John. Nobody knows.
So what kinds of things have you been working on recently?
I still do a bunch of Transformer stuff and other cartoon stuff as it comes up. I just did a thing for a game called Marvel Snap. It's online somewhere. I don't know. It was a commercial and online. I do stuff for as a company that owns like 12 different tire stores, you know, under different names in different states. And I did videos for them that run in their waiting areas to entertain people. And I do a lot of theater. That's what I really like doing. And now that I'm an old fart,
You know, I really have very little patience for travel these days. So it's nice to stay home and, you know, do a play for a couple of months is nice. I do some Transformers conventions. I just did one here in Burbank, and I'm going to be in Chicago area in July. It's either June or July, I can't remember. And so that's coming up. And that's kind of fun because you get to meet all the fans. And, you know, it's just crazy. It's just, there was a movie years ago called Soap Dish with Sally Field and Whoopi Goldberg. And Sally Field played a soap opera actress. And every time she would get depressed, Whoopi Goldberg would take her to the mall in New Jersey. And then people would start recognizing her and blowing smoke up her butt. And she would get in a good mood again. And that's kind of what these conventions are because, I mean, you know, you do something, you don't realize the effect it has on people. So it's very, very nice to have people come up to you and tell you how, you know, you made their childhood bearable and they love this and they love that. And people remember the slightest little thing. They remember things I don't remember. So it's really nice, heartwarming feeling to know you've had some kind of impact on people that way.
And you also wrote a few books, too. What are those books about?
Well, what they are is that they're actually books on tape. One is called 10 Classics in 10 Minutes. They were mostly written by my partners, and then I did write some of the stuff. But they're comedy takes on books on tape. So it's like Gone with the Wind in a Minute, Moby Dick in a Minute, Romeo and Juliet in a Minute, Streetcar Named Desire in a Minute. So, and that came out 1 year. It sold very well. So the following year, we came out with the next project, which was called Professor John Machida's 10-Minute University, and it was 4 years of traditional college in 10 minutes, and it came with a little mini diploma, and it was subjects like, you know, physiology, psychology, sociology, and football. And, that was good. I mean, I'm telling you, I was very busy in the 80s and 90s. I also had a board game called the Motor Mouth Game that I created with another couple of friends. David Fuhrer and Mark Seta-Ducati came out with Tiger Games, and it was actually available in Europe as a game called Tongue Tangle. It was all twisters, tongue twisters. And I wasn't a big known, the game here, Mighty, was called Mighty Mouth, and the Motor Mouth, and it had my picture all over it, on the game board, on the box cover, and in Europe, since I wasn't known that way, they just called it Tongue Tangle.
Well, I really enjoyed having you on the Medley this week, John. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you the best going forward.
Well, thank you very much.
I hope that you enjoyed this edition of the Medley with John Machida Jr. I'm Blake Crash Priddle, and remember, here at the Medley, we're all kinds of different.